From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Welcome to the Friday edition of Washington Watch. Eben Fowler today sitting in for Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along. Boy, it's been a big day, a big news day, and we have an incredible program for you today. Let's start out with that big news. Earlier this afternoon, President Trump announced from the Rose Garden an end to the longest government shutdown in American history. He's authorized 3 weeks of funding for the government that includes back pay for all federal workers. Let's listen to a couple of minutes of his announcement. Cut one.
My fellow Americans, I am very proud to announce today that we have reached a deal to end the shutdown and reopen the federal government. As everyone knows, I have a very powerful alternative, but I didn't want to use it at this time. Hopefully, it will be unnecessary. I want to thank all of the incredible federal workers and their amazing families who have shown such extraordinary devotion in the face of this recent hardship. You are incredible patriots. Many of you have suffered far greater than anyone but your families would know or understand. Not only did you not complain, but in many cases you encouraged me to keep going because you care so much about our country and about its border security. In a short while, I will sign a bill to open our government for 3 weeks until February 15th. I will make sure that all employees receive their back pay very quickly or as soon as possible. It'll happen fast. I am asking Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to put this proposal on the floor immediately. After 36 days of spirited debate and dialogue, I have seen and heard from enough Democrats and Republicans that they are willing to put partisanship aside, I think, and put the security of the American people first. They have said they are for complete border security, and they have finally and fully acknowledged that having barriers, fencing, or walls, or whatever you want to call it, will be an important part of the solution.
Well, that certainly is great news for the country, great news, of course, for the federal workers who've been affected by this shutdown. And I hope that the president's assessment is correct, that some of these folks will put their partisanship aside so we can get some work done. And, of course, border security and security of the country is very, very important. Well, in our first segment today, we'll pivot to a cultural debate that is red hot, and that's transgenderism. Last September, a Florida transgender school policy resulted in demanding that a male athletic coach supervise a 14-year-old girl, listen to this, a girl undressing in the boys' locker room. It's nuts, at Chasco Middle School, and, of course, without informing the boys' parents. My first guest will be Matt Staver, president of Liberty Council. His organization is representing that coach. Then at 22 past the hour, I'll talk to a pro-life hero named John Speed. He's a bookstore owner in Syracuse, New York, who took a stand for preborn babies by shutting down his business the Wednesday after New York's extreme abortion law passed just this past Tuesday night. And it is an extreme abortion law. What you might not know is that John's also a pastor and a pro-life activist to boot. At half past the hour, this is going to be really interesting, we're going to get Robert Barnes on. Robert is an attorney that you might have seen on Fox News, and he's offered to represent the group of Covington, Kentucky Catholic high school students who were unfairly painted as racists for wearing Make America Great Again hats as they were waiting for their bus in Washington, D.C., at the conclusion of the March for Life a week ago today, when a Native American man started beating a drum in their faces. And we'll take calls in our final segment. We hope that Robert will be able to stay over with us, and you can talk directly to him. A lot to talk about, indeed. I want to remind you, you can always listen live or catch the podcast of previous shows at TonyPerkins.com. Well, let's get into our first segment. Last September, a Florida transgender school policy resulted in demanding that a male athletic coach supervise a 14-year-old girl undressing in the boys' locker room at Chasco Middle School without informing the boys' parents. Despite the coach's refusal to do so and a letter from Liberty Council, The school has not properly resolved this ongoing problem. I'd urge you to take a look at TonyPerkins.com today. You can find a link to the Family Research Council publication titled A Parent's Guide to the Transgender Movement in Education. That'll help you navigate these disturbing cultural waters. Well, I am pleased to welcome our guest, our first guest, Matt Staver. He's the president of Liberty Council, which is representing Coach Rob Apatizano. And, Matt, you may have to tell me the proper pronunciation of that last name. But welcome to Washington Watch, Matt.
Thank you. Rob actually gave me some interesting way to remember how to pronounce that, and it's Apatizano. It's kind of like you're speaking of a pizza or something like that. Rob Apatizano. He's a PE teacher, and both he and another female PE teacher spoke before a school board packed audience just this week, and they both said the same thing, that they were called in and they were threatened with their job. They were threatened that if they did not watch over people of the opposite sex, the male watching over a girl undressed in the boys' locker and shower room, the woman watching over a man, a boy undressing in the girls' locker room and shower room, if they didn't do that, then they would actually not only lose their job, but they would lose their teaching certificate and never be able to teach again. Both of them had the exact same story, and they both got standing ovations from the packed audience that was there. So there's a lot of community support for these teachers and for this policy to be done away with, and certainly for the privacy and the protection of not only the students but the teachers and staff to be honored and protected.
Well, you know, again, as I understand it, this is a biological girl. This is a 14-year-old girl who claims that she wants to identify as a boy at this Florida middle school. She was allowed to walk in on boys in their locker room. Some of them were undressed, apparently. Of course, they were understandably embarrassed. They hurriedly got their clothes back on and ran out the door and apparently said, "Coach, we got a problem. There's a girl in the guy's locker room." You know, it sounds like the insane are running the asylum, you know, when I hear cases like this. Why is it that we defer to this one individual who has whatever issue going on and nobody else seems to count, Matt?
You know, that's exactly the point. In fact, Rob, the PE teacher, went and spoke to the authorities, including the council for the school, and he said that, number one, he needed to be accommodated, so it would be inappropriate for him to watch a girl undress. Two, the boys needed to be warned. And three, the parents needed to have knowledge. None of that they were willing to address or allow. And in fact, he said, well, what about the rights of these other boys? Because he was told that this girl has the right to choose which restroom, which locker room, which shower room that she will ultimately use if that's how she wants to identify, and you have to just go along with it. He said, what about the rights of the staff? What about the rights of the other young boys? And what about the rights of the parents? They don't have any rights.
And here's another thing, too. I understand that in the coach's public testimony on January 15th, he complained to his administrators that policy like this, besides being morally wrong, which it is, would open the district to lawsuits. And he gave an example of a male teacher in the district who was recently arrested for recording a video of a female student just changing her shirt. And here the administration wants this coach to watch this girl undress in front of a bunch of boys. It's nuts.
It's exactly right. And it's the same school. It's the same Pasco County School District in which that other teacher was arrested for doing exactly what you said. And he pointed out, you're opening up yourself for lawsuits because what you're going to allow is girls going into the boys' locker room, vice versa, and you're going to require the male teacher to supervise, to watch the girl, vice versa, with the female teacher. That's going to cause problems. It's going to put people in jeopardy, and you're going to be sued. And his response that he received from the council for the school, we're big. We get sued all the time. It doesn't really matter. Go ahead and sue us. I mean, that's the attitude.
Oh boy.
They don't care about the students. They don't care about even these girls or boys that are confused and could get sexually assaulted or someone could do inappropriate things to them. They don't care about those individuals, let alone the boys that are having to put up with this, or the girls, and certainly don't even tell the parents. The policy that has been put forth by this LGBT activist that the school hired about a year plus ago says that parents should not be notified.
Yeah, and I took a look briefly at, there was a link from an article to the website of this this teacher who apparently is involved in putting this policy together, and I want to ask you more about that. And she you know, she shut down her site in terms of the contact us part because she was getting all kinds of threats and that sort of thing, which is certainly inappropriate. And she, you know, talked about all of the wonderful things she does for students, and some of them were, and for other people. But then, you know, she's one of these people who's an advocate for the students who claim to be transgender. And, you know, that's a topic for a whole nother discussion. And we don't really need to get into that. But as you said, and as you mentioned a moment ago, this 14-year-old girl, whatever issues she has going on with her identity. And by the way, I think there's a lot of misinformation and a lot of sort of social coercion to move students to think this way. But whatever is going on with her, you're right. You know, it exposes her to danger as well and to ridicule. And it just sort of puts her out there. And she needs to be dealing with her issues quietly and not being shoved into a boy's locker room. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, look, it doesn't do this girl who's confused about her gender or anyone else any good to require everyone around her to ultimately affirm something that's not right. And in fact, this girl needs additional resources, needs additional help to deal with this. In fact, I just finished reading Walt Heyer's book, Trans Survivors. It'll make you angry, but it'll make you very sad, because what you see happening is exactly what you're saying, where people are being pushed into this. They're not given the proper counseling. They're not given the proper resources. And some of them are even going to the radical point of hormones and surgery, even at a young age, and then regret this kind of invasive surgery and hormone treatment many years later, some of which obviously is irreversible when you remove certain body parts. And it really is sad that when someone like this does have what I call gender confusion, gender dysphoria, they make everyone else around affirm that. The fact of the matter is, maybe 90% of young boys or girls that have some confusion at some point in their life about their gender in terms of what they want to identify as, they outgrow that without any intervention. And if you affirm that, you're doing them harm rather than good.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the one of the real tragedies about this. And the other thing, too, is that the suicide rate among people who are transgender is many, many multiples higher than the average population. And who knows what all the reasons are behind that. But, Matt, just briefly, what do you think the outcome's going to be before we have to get out of here?
Well, I think we're not going to allow the teachers and the staff and the parents to just be trampled like this. So we're trying to work to see what we can do without litigation. But if litigation is necessary, that's the next step.
Very good. Well, we thank you for the work you're doing and to help support the teacher and the parents down there in Florida. Matt Staver, thanks again. Well, coming up next, I'll talk with John Speed, the bookstore owner in New York, who decided to shut down his store the day after New York passed an extreme abortion bill to demonstrate his warning. Stay tuned.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Eben Fowler is sitting in today, guest hosting for Tony Perkins. We're glad you're here on this Friday afternoon of fast-moving news and lots of information. Well, ever since New York-based bookstore owner John Speed took a stand for preborn babies by closing his business on Wednesday, this past Wednesday, after New York passed an extreme abortion law on Tuesday night, he's become a hero of the pro-life movement. Conservatives are flocking to his website, which is www.john, and that's spelled J-O-N, johnspeedbooks.com. I'm going to give you that again because I'd like you to visit there as well to give him their business instead of Amazon. What you might not know is that John Speed is also the pastor of Christ is King Baptist Church, which happens to meet in his bookstore on Sundays. Interestingly, the bookstore's not a Christian bookstore, per se, but a mainstream one that happens to carry a lot of theology titles. You can even find him on sermonaudio.com if you search Christ is King Baptist in Syracuse, New York. Before we bring John on the broadcast here, I want to play a short soundbite from New York Democratic Governor Cuomo. He painted President Trump and the newly reconfigured Supreme Court with nominees Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, or as justices Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, as the enemies of progress and the people for their commitment to the sanctity of preborn human life. Let's listen to Governor Cuomo, cut two.
We should not have a federal government that is trying to roll back women's rights to a point 47, 48, 50 years ago. This administration defies American evolution. We're supposed to be moving forward. We're supposed to be advancing. We're supposed to live and learn. We're supposed to be growing. And their entire perspective on the world is a retrospective. We're going to go back, take you back to the good old days instead of take us forward. Just think, when we were debating the Reproductive Health Act, our Republican colleagues in the Senate said to us, it's unnecessary anyway, because no one would ever try to reverse Roe v. Wade. Remember that? That's what they said. It was unnecessary. Well, how wrong they were. Because this president and these extremists are going there. Do not kid yourself. Today's decision on the military ban for transgender, that 5-4, you're going to hear that over and over and over again. That's why they wanted the Supreme Court. And that's why we had to pass this law to protect our state.
Okay, if anybody's extreme, Governor Cuomo, you are, as well as your assembly in New York. You ought to be ashamed of yourself for passing a law like this. It's a lot of people, in fact, many of my colleagues were quite sickened when they heard how radical this abortion law is. Well, John Speed, you're a bright light. We are so glad that you joined us on Washington Watch today. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you so much for having me on.
John, first of all, for our listeners who are not familiar with just how radical this new law is in your state of New York, give us a kind of a thumbnail sketch of what it does.
Well, what it does is it takes abortion and makes it legal up until basically birth in what they're calling cases of health of the mother. What's not so clearly defined is what that even means, health of the mother. I think that it's very possible that includes mental and emotional health. And really, there's been exceptions in New York before this for the same sorts of things for abortions. And so, in a sense, that's really nothing new. They're just making it much more clear that they can do that. And so that's the first thing. The other thing is the fact that they've removed penalties for women who would self-abort, that sort of thing. So if they tried to harm the baby in the womb, you know, on their own while they're at home, that used to be a crime. They're basically taking that out of the criminal code, and so that will no longer be a crime to do that. That's how I understand that. And then there's something else. Non-physicians.
Right.
You're allowing non-physicians to perform abortions, so physicians' assistants, that sort of thing, could perform abortions.
Well, let me read the sign that you put on the door of your bookstore on Wednesday. It says, "Closed today. Today is a day of mourning in New York State. We will not collect sales tax today for a tyrannical government that murders babies. We will resume regular business tomorrow, collecting sales tax under duress and abortion." Now, John, what kind of reaction have you gotten from the stand that you have taken?
We've had a little bit of negative feedback. We've had one customer contact us to tell us that they were done doing business with us. And I've heard, just talking to a guy in the neighborhood here a few minutes ago, telling me that, you know, there are some people in the neighborhood that are pretty upset with me for talking about this at all. They think I should just basically sell books and be quiet, you know, be happy that I'm here or whatever. But this thing is just so diabolical that I really felt like I had to do something. And, you know, we did what we could before the bill was voted on. We had even had people from our church at the Capitol building lobbying, trying to change this thing. But, you know, that obviously didn't happen. And so I thought, man, well, here's something that tangible that I can do to register my displeasure with this thing and make it clear where we stand.
Absolutely. Briefly, tell me about, there's a documentary that you were involved in called Babies Are Murdered Here. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's a documentary we did a few years ago, and it got quite a bit of play. You can see it for free on the internet at babiesaremurderedhere.com. And it just mobilized a lot of churches. In fact, now there's over 300 churches going out to abortion clinics, preaching the gospel and offering real help and hope to the women who are going in, and to the abortive fathers as well, trying to intervene in those cases. And thousands of babies have been rescued over the last few years. In fact, we're working on a sequel that will be called Babies Are Still Murdered Here. That will focus on legislation.
Wow. Well, that's great. Glad to hear that. And let me join you in just saying how displeased I am with the so-called leaders of your state. And hopefully, in addition to all the great things you're doing there, and praying in front of abortion clinics and that sort of thing, that you also can work to remove some of these radicals from your state assembly. Let me also, John, give your website again for our listeners so that they can, you know, maybe instead of buying a few books at Amazon, they can patronize you. It's johnspeedbooks.com, johnspeedbooks.com. John, thanks again for what you're doing, the stand you're taking, and the work that you're doing.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on.
You bet. You're listening to Washington Watch. Evan Fowler here in for Tony Perkins. Coming up next, stay with us, Robert Barnes, the attorney for Covington, Kentucky high schoolers who've been maligned by the liberal media for wearing Make America Great Again hats.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Evan Fowler with Bot Radio Network, guest hosting for Tony Perkins today. Well, a lot of leftists were quick to criticize Catholic students from the Covington, Kentucky High School following video of Native American protester Nathan Phillips banging a drum in front of them as they wore Make America Great Again hats after the March for Life had concluded. This has to be one of the most egregious examples of fake news that I've seen in quite a long time. Bunches and bunches of news media got this story 180 degrees wrong, and that's what we're going to talk about today. My next guest, attorney Robert Barnes, offered to represent the students pro bono. I saw him just a couple of nights ago doing an interview. I believe it was on Fox News. And as soon as that interview was over, I sent an email to our producer, Adam McManus, and I said, Adam, if we can get this gentleman on, I really want to talk with him. I love what he's doing. Robert, welcome to Washington Watch.
Happy to be here.
Well, tell us from your perspective what happened and why you got involved, first of all.
Sure. So I was actually on vacation and just saw the social media storm, and I just happened to come across Maggie Haberman, the New York Times writer, calling for the expulsion of kids she'd never met, private citizens, about an event she never witnessed and had no clue about. And here you have the lead reporter for the lead newspaper in the nation, who's supposed to follow certain journalistic ethical standpoints, certain ethical standards, and is completely absconding and basically negating them by attacking these private kids from a small town in a bedroom community of Cincinnati in northern Kentucky that she's never met on facts she didn't know, what that turned out to be completely false, and that she should have known was false at the time, given the involvement of the Black Hebrew Israelites, as they're called, and a lefty protester like Mr. Phillips, who had a long history of lying and criminal conduct. So I just got agitated, put up on Twitter that I'll represent folks for free if they've been harmed by this lie, and it just blew up. I got a wide range of inquiries from all over the country. People also wanted to volunteer to help. Paralegals, other lawyers, investigators, security folks, court reporters. It's the biggest volunteer explosion for a case of this nature I've ever seen or witnessed. And it just reflects the fact that there's a systemic effort by the cultural left, who already has a 90 to 95% monopoly on the cultural institutions of the media, of Hollywood, of the academy, of universities, of public education, to try to suppress, censor, and chain the last place where ordinary people and everyday people can educate their children free of that kind of cultural, social, monopolistic influence, and by lying and libeling, in this case, a bunch of kids. And it just enraged me, so I offered my services for free so that we could leverage the equation, equalize the equation, balance out the equation so that they can get real remedy against this wrongful conduct.
Well, I'm going to ask you a little bit more about you and your law firm here as we go on. And it sounds like you're kind of fired up, which is great. Tell us about the way this was presented in the media, kind of the timeline. And then, if you would, tell us what the real timeline was.
So the media timeline that came out, which later was turned out was spread by bots and propagandists, was that these Native Americans were doing a Native American march, and when they were trying to finish their march, all of a sudden this massive gang of sort of 1950-style Klan-like racists surrounded the poor Native Americans, wouldn't let them finish the march, and were yelling epitaphs at them and calling them names and mocking them and taunting them and chanting, "Build the wall," and creating this theater of intimidation and harassing and bullying and violence, this poor elderly Vietnam veteran Native American who was just trying to finish his march. That was the story framework that came out from the press, that the blue check mark folks on Twitter, that the media, the establishment press, mainstream, mainline, Hollywood celebrities, big social media platforms propagated to the degree that they called for, encouraged, incentivized, welcomed, and rewarded threats of violence. People talking about, wouldn't it be great if there was a school shooting there in Covington? Wouldn't it be great if this kid's face is so punchable? Saturday Night Live writers saying that they would provide personal intimate favors for people who would go and cause harm to these kids, that kind of thing. People saying the kids should be locked up and burned into the ground. That's how insane it was. The true story, the real timeline, was that these were kids who it's the one day in Washington there's any conservatives out on the street in Washington, go up to join the March for Life to support the most innocent, vulnerable people in cause in the world, the pro-life movement. And at the end of the march, they're waiting for their school bus at the Lincoln Memorial. They're not experienced or familiar with lefty protest culture. Probably the first time they've ever met a group as weird and odd as the so-called Black Hebrew Israelites, who think, by the way, that they're the only true Jewish people, and the Jewish people have stolen their land. That's how nuts it is. Mm-hmm. They make Louis Farrakhan look sane and rational by comparison.
Yeah.
And so these kids are sitting there, all of a sudden they're just getting attacked by the BHI group. They're called every name in the book. They're said they're born from incest. They're accused of being child molesters. They're called racist epitaphs. There's an African-American student that's amongst them. They're attacking the African-American student, using slurs. You know, they're cursing at him. They're cussing at him, trying to provoke a response or reaction. And what do the kids do? The kids don't say anything to them, don't harass them at all, don't say anything negative, try to turn away from them, are shocked and horrified by what's taking place, instead decide to do something positive. Do their own school cheers. One of their own school cheers is the Great Hakka Dance, which is in respect of one of the greatest tribal traditions in the world, which is celebrated by the New Zealand rugby team known as the All Blacks. And they're doing that, and because it's a tribal dance that's being done, then they see this Native American come in the middle of their crowd doing the drum, and they think he's with them.
Yeah.
That's why they're cheering and they're going along with him and they're dancing with him. And they are Covington Catholic middle school, high school kids. So they're not the best dancers in the world, but the only mocking will be mocking of their own lack of dancing skill.
Well, Robert, we're gonna take a break here for just a minute. We've got a lot more to talk about, and I appreciate you holding over into the next segment. We'll be taking some calls as well. The number is 866-372-7234. Back after the break.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy, from unicorns to the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. In FRC's analysis, 10 Myths on Abortion, join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to our other free resources, go to frc.org/connect.
Kevin Fowler with Bot Radio Network sitting in today for Tony Perkins. It's a great Friday afternoon, and we are talking about perhaps the hottest story from this past week, perhaps aside from the government shutdown situation, and that's about this group of young guys from Covington, Kentucky, from a Catholic high school, who attended the March for Life, as our guest Robert Barnes said. They were there to help represent the most innocent, the unborn babies in our culture. They were there, and then they took a little time, perhaps, to tour Washington. They ended up at the Lincoln Memorial, and then they got into this mess with people shouting epithets at them and making fun of them, and then the story was totally, completely misreported. And then Robert Barnes, our guest, stepped in. He's an attorney, and he's decided to offer his services pro bono to these young men, to these students and their families, to help defend them against the libel. Robert, again, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Happy to be here.
All right, so we kind of established the story and the timeline. Tell me, why did you want to get involved, and what do you hope will be the outcome of the work that you and your firm do?
The goal was to equalize the equation, because usually in what the media and the establishment press and those with a big social media platform are accustomed to is to lying and libeling about those in the dissident community or those on the political right with no consequence, with nothing bad happening to them. And in fact, it's the opposite. Usually they gain social prestige points within their leftist circles.
Right.
And so the goal was to change that. They need to suffer a consequence for lying about kids. Need to suffer a consequence for libeling kids, need to suffer a consequence for fabricating false and fraudulent stories about their political or ideological adversaries. And the goal is to use the legal process to do that. And that's why libel remedies exist. That's why defamation remedies exist. That's why invasion of privacy remedies exist. That's why what's called false light claims exist. They exist to remedy when a private citizen is wronged by the public lies of a public press. And that's what we're going to do here, and the goal is to equalize it. Normally, the hard part, the biggest barrier, the biggest obstacle, is that the ordinary person cannot afford the cost of libel litigation. because that kind of litigation is not really traditionally done on a contingency basis. So you have to pay an hourly fee. And to give a comparison, your typical defense lawyer will incur legal fees between $250,000 and $1 million for a single libel lawsuit.
Wow.
So an ordinary person can't access that. And the goal was to provide those legal services for free. So to remove that obstacle, remove that barrier, so we could effectively sort of equalize the equation so they could have full access to the legal process, get the vindication that they need, and most importantly, not only protect their kids' reputation, but to protect all other children who might be subject to this in the future if we don't send a message now.
I'm going to give our phone number out for those of you who might want to call in and talk with us, talk with Robert. It's 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Robert, let me read a quote from something that Tucker Carlson of Fox News said the other evening. He asked this question: did the video really describe what happened? That should have been the first question journalists asked. Checking facts and adding contexts is what journalists are paid to do. It's in the first line of the job description. Yet amazingly, almost nobody in the American media did that. That's a shame, because there was a lot to check. The full video of what happened on Friday last week in Washington is well over an hour long. The 4 minutes that made Twitter didn't tell the story, but instead distorted the story. A longer look shows that the boys from Covington Catholic in Kentucky weren't a roving mob looking for a fight. They were, in fact, and it shows on the tape, if they would watch it, standing in place, waiting to be picked up by a bus. So, Robert, you're involved in this because I think you and a lot of the rest of us are sick and tired of the news media not doing their job. Is that right?
Absolutely. This was a complete act of professional malpractice. It breached every standard of journalistic integrity. It breached every standard of investigative integrity. It breached every standard of what statements could be made public about private individuals. And so especially if you contrast it to what happened in Parkland, when there you have very activist, young leftist kids who wanted to make a statement based on what happened in Parkland, and anyone who criticized them was immediately condemned by the establishment press for invading the privacy of minors and the rest. So there they were protective of public acting minors, but when you have completely private acting minors, they're the ones joining in and doing the defamation and the lying and the libel, using their credentials and their licensures as journalists and as professionals to do it, and in the process of violating and vitiating the standards that are meant to govern their conduct that lend them their credibility in the first place.
Well, if it weren't for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all, and you've just pointed that out. I want to take a caller here, Robert. We'll just talk to one of our listeners. Janet is from Texas. Janet's on the line. Welcome to Washington Watch. Janet, what's your comment?
Yes, I wanted to really applaud the Covington High School students for standing the ground, standing for life. And I'm very proud of them. Here in Texas and across our nation, I can tell you for sure there's millions of us standing with them and applauding them. And I'm taking a stand for the Lord in our nation. And, you know, in our Declaration of Independence, it acknowledges life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And our Constitution was formed to uphold those rights that only come from the Lord God. And, you know, it all starts with life. And if we had more students and more people across our nation taking that stand like those young people did, then that would really be a huge voice across America.
Thank you, Janet, so much for calling. You're absolutely right. That's kind of gotten lost in this whole thing. And maybe that's, though, part of the reason that the media establishment has opposed these kids. It's because they were there. The reason they were in Washington in the first place, Robert, was because they were wanting to take a stand for the unborn. Let me ask you a question here now. On Wednesday, you gave a 48-hour notice to media outlets and individuals to retract and correct any false statements about these Covington students. What's the status right now? Where are we on that?
So the 48 hours runs out tonight at midnight, Friday midnight. And so the good news part of it is about half of the people that we had given notice to have issued retractions, have issued corrections, have issued apologies, have issued deletions. Congresswoman Omar who said a lot of very interesting things that she's refused to delete in other contexts. As we put out, we said, look, if you don't retract this, you're going to be sued next week. Within an hour, she had she deleted all of those tweets and retracted it. So we've seen Jake Tapper retract. He almost never does. Saw Meghan McCain of The View retract. She almost never does. Saw S.E. Cup of CNN retract. She almost never does. So we've had some exceptional outcomes simply by putting everybody on direct notice that this is coming unless they take remedial and action. Some, however, unfortunately, have not done so. Maggie Haberman has yet to retract her comments calling for the expulsion of these kids. Reza Aslan, of, used to be a CNN, very prominent social media platform, has refused to retract his request that these kids be punched in the face. Michael Rapaport, a famous actor who's on a Netflix series that's all about not bullying children, it has a video bullying these children using homophobic rhetoric and the like. He's refused to retract it. Matthew Dowd, the fake Republican on ABC, has made false statements in between saying that we should all love one another, makes continuing false libelous statements about these kids. He's going to get sued next week.
Right.
New York Daily News put out a false newspaper headline that said these kids were in blackface when they're actually at a blackout. They're going to get sued next week. So the we'll see who fixes things by midnight tonight and who sees the Kentucky courtroom soon enough.
Giddy up. Let's go. John is in Mississippi. John's got a pertinent question here for you, Robert. John, welcome to Washington Watch.
Glad to be here. And I actually wanted to ask a question about exactly what you're talking about. So for the half that don't retract, I think we all agree that what they did was wrong. But what do you have to show in court for them to be found guilty? Just that do you have to show that they lied or bad intent or what?
Yeah, what are the elements, John, or Robert, that you have to prove? Thanks, John.
So for a libel or defamation claim, you only have to prove two things: that they made a false statement, and because they're a private citizen and a minor, it's the lower standard of all you have to show is that they were negligent. You don't have to show that it was malevolent. You don't have to show that it was intentional. You don't even have to show it was reckless. Just have to show it was negligent. Now, there are also other causes of action, legal claims, torts in Kentucky to protect you from precisely these kind of circumstances, and those are called false light claims, invasion of privacy claims. So any act that puts your name or reputation in a false light that was done so carelessly, for which there's no qualified privilege, and there is no qualified privilege here because these are private citizens and minors that were lied about, then you also have a legal claim for them as well. So the legal standards are different when it's a private citizen, mm-hmm. when they're minors, and that was the mistake the media made here. They went to a place where the law does not protect them from their rogue and reckless conduct.
Absolutely. That's great. Duana is in Arkansas. Duana, welcome to Washington Watch. Your comment, please.
I was just going to say that every time I've sent money to the legal foundations that represent Christians in court, I have felt like it was money very well spent because the court is the battleground and we cannot just cede things without a fight. And so I'm thankful that we have those organizations, and I encourage people to give money to them. And thank you for the kids for being willing to be on the front lines in this battle, the kids from Covington.
Yeah, thank you, Duane. Robert, I understand, and I talked with one of your assistants earlier today, that a whole bunch of people are wanting to jump on board to help support this effort. Tell us about that, and it's some kind of a foundation that you all are putting together.
So there's been a wide range of requests and even demands that we have some means so that people can participate, volunteer their time, volunteer their efforts, contribute or donate to the families in some way. So we're working together to try to create a foundation and a website where everybody can go and direct. We've had hundreds of requests for people who want to help participate, help make sure this happens, help protect people that go through the process. So while my legal services will remain free throughout, no matter what, come hell or high water, they say in Arkansas, we're going to set something up to provide protection for the family and to allow public participation for all the folks who want to do that, and we'll be announcing that next week.
Now, with these, let's say old Maggie at the New York Times decides that she's just going to hold out and try to fight this. What might be the consequence if she loses?
If she loses, she could look at Docker. So the potential is the Kentucky jury finds her actions so horrendous and atrocious that it's necessary to send a real message. That message may be an action that bankrupts her. So that's her risk. You know, does she want to bankrupt her financial future over this lie and libel of some kids she's never met?
Now, you know, you're going to have some people who are, again, on the left and probably some in the media. We can probably see it on MSNBC tonight where they're going to be claiming, well, you're trying to suppress, you know, freedom of the press and all that sort of thing. How would you answer that, Robert?
The freedom of the press has never been the right to lie and libel. Just like the Fifth Amendment is not a right to commit perjury, the First Amendment is not a right to commit perjury about someone else, to lie and libel and destroy someone else's reputation, because they, too, have a First Amendment right of expression of speech. They, too, have a First Amendment right of privacy in their actions. And it's their rights that are being violated by the lies and libels of the establishment press.
So, if Maggie doesn't relent and you send her, I don't know, what do you send her, a subpoena, or what's the document that will let her know that she is about to be sued?
We won't send her a further notice. We'll just sue her, and we'll serve her the complaint.
And does she still have an opportunity to back out and say, I'm sorry, and recant, or is it going to be too late after midnight tonight?
It's going to be too late after midnight tonight.
Now, good. Maggie, I hope you're listening. Let's talk with Bob in Nebraska. Bob is on the line. He's one of our listeners. Thanks for joining us today, Bob. Well, we just lost Bob. Let's try. Iris in Texas has been hanging on the line quite a while. Iris, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you. And this is an awesome program, and I love when you guest host for Tony.
Thank you.
I'm a longtime listener, and I just want to say that this is a watershed moment in American history.
It is.
And a watershed moment in our Christian religious rights. And I know that we have to stand up right now because all history will hold, and God, I believe, will hold us believers accountable if we don't stand up. And I'm 100% behind you all. I'm praying and having my prayer groups that I'm involved in several standing with you and praying. And it reminds me of Romans 28 after this precious attorney said that they were going to set up funds. It shows that Americans do care, Christians do care for one another, and it's going to be a Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good. And I'm believing what the enemy has meant for evil, God is going to turn for good in this situation. Thank you for all
Iris,
that you do.
Thank you for calling, Iris, and thank you so much for listening too. And Robert, you know, let me know if you agree with this. I think part of the reason that this has hit a chord with so many people, and Iris is an example, I think, is that really we're all interested in seeking the truth, and we're getting sick and tired of having everything but the truth shoveled our way, are we not?
Oh, exactly. I mean, people are tired of being lied about, tired of being libeled, tired of being attacked in false and fabricated ways just because their political adversaries don't like their existence. And these are people who are misusing and abusing their disproportionate, almost near monopolistic power. You can't watch a TV show without hearing some liberal message. You can't watch a movie without hearing some liberal message. These days, you can't even see an advertisement without seeing a liberal message. You can't go to a public school or a university without hearing a liberal message. Enough is enough. And they, you know, they have all of that power, and yet they still have to lie and libel kids who are in the last part of the country, the last part of the educational infrastructure that doesn't go along with the leftist ideology is mandatory as part of their compulsory education. So if people have had enough of it.
Hey, amen, Robert. Thank you again so much for stepping forward and doing this. Quickly, is there a website where folks can get more information?
Sure. It's www.barneslawllp.com.
BarnesLawLLP.com. Robert, thanks so much. Well, Evan Fowler here. This has been a great broadcast. Thanks for listening, and be back on Monday with Tony. God bless.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.